It's so wonderful to have people back here in church for public masses again. It's a great thing to be able to rejoice, which is very fitting that we're celebrating Pentecost. What a wondrous and challenging feast we celebrate today. A feast like this challenges us because it puts to lie a lazy, sleepy, hidden, fearful, and tepid Christian life. Now, Jesus tells the apostles and still says to us, I have come to cast a fire on the earth. This feast is about fire, a transformative, refining, purifying fire that the Lord wants to kindle in us and in this world. It's about a necessary fire. For as the Lord first judged the world by fire, the present heavens and the earth are reserved for fire. And it's because it's going to be fire the next time. We need the tongues of Pentecost fire to fall on us, to set us on fire with God's love, to bring us up to the temperature of glory. And you will notice that the Holy Spirit came on the apostles like tongues of fire. The reference to tongues is no accident. For notice how the Holy Spirit moves the apostles to speak, to ultimately to witness, to go out and live the lives that God was calling them to live. That Saint Luke accounts for us. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. So behold how the Holy Spirit moves the apostles to proclaim. Not just within the safety of the upper room, but also in the holy boldness before the crowds that have gathered for that feast in Jerusalem, celebrating the foundation of the law given by Moses. Notice the transformation. Moments ago, these were frightened men gathered in secrecy behind locked doors. They were huddled together in fear. But now they go forth to the crowds, proclaim Christ boldly. They've gone from fear to faith, from cowardice to courage, from terror to testimony. Well, what about us? That Jesus is doing this for us, but too many Christians are silent, overcome by fear. Perhaps they fear being called names or being unpopular. Perhaps they're anxious about being laughed at or resisted, or being asked questions they don't feel comfortable answering. That they can become secret agent Christians. There's also the fear and anxiety that all of us have been experiencing, been facing over the last several months because of the coronavirus. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to change this force, wants to free us of fear, to help us face our fears, to accept that illness, suffering, death are part of life in this world we call paradise lost. To help us live our lives as God has called us to do. Life is filled with countless risks. We must be sober and prudent about that. But at the same time, courageous and accepting. To be cognizant of the risks, to try to minimize them, is being wise, is being prudent, living out that virtuous life. But to avoid all risk is neither possible nor healthy. It's not living. And it's highly unlikely that the risk of contracting the coronavirus will ever be brought to zero. And at some point, we're going to have to return to our normal lives, as we are beginning to do. Now that we are able to come back to Mass, be able to worship God together. And even if we do eventually find a treatment, a cure for coronavirus, even if it's tomorrow that this happens, there's still countless other viruses, bacteria, allergens, toxins all around us. God has equipped us, though. He's equipped us with immune systems that almost do a miraculous job to keep us healthy in facing the daily onslaught of attacks. And for believers, for faithful that we are, trusting in God's care and what He has provided to keep us healthy plays an important part in overcoming our fear. That life has many risks, but our lives remain in God's hands and we in His care. This doesn't mean we go about living out our life with complete abandon. We need to live virtuously. We need to live temperately, prudently. It's a summons to remember that life has many risks. And the risks are part of accepting them, part of our life in this world, that God is with us through it all. And we also have to accept the hard truth that all people die. People die of many things, coronavirus among them. Death is a part of our lives, the result of original sin. We weren't meant to die until Adam and Eve committed that first sin. It's a result. It's the way Satan has enslaved us by doing that to us. And so therefore, we must all face death eventually. Each one of us is going to die one day, at a time, in a moment, in a place, and how, in a manner that's not of our own choosing, but of God's plan, His choosing. That He has a plan for our lives, meant to give us joy, to lead us to that eternal happiness, that beatific vision of being with Him in heaven, if we cooperate with Him, if we respond to His grace. And it's alarming to me as a priest, as a faithful Christian, how little we as the church have had to say about death. Death is a reality, but it's not something we should be excessively fearful of. And Christ has conquered death, made it a doorway to the glory of heaven for the faithful. That's what we've been celebrating for the last 50 days in the Easter season. Because Christ has conquered death, risen from the grave, entered into heaven, gives us that work of redemption through the sacraments by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why St. Paul writes, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast and immovable. We all have a natural fear of death, especially of the dying process itself. But as Christians, we're taught, we believe, we know we need to confront, to conquer our fear of death. That the grace to do so has been given to us by Christ. That's why elsewhere in Scripture, it goes and says, now since the children have flesh and blood, Christ too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And we need to pay attention. Christ has conquered death, summoned us by His grace to become free of the fear of death, through which the devil has kept us in bondage. Death is not the end. It is a birth unto new life. That for the faithful Christian, the day of our death is the greatest day of our life. And though we might require some purgation, we might have to spend some time in purgatory first, we leave this world of sorrows behind, journey to that place of unspeakable joys, of untold glories, heaven. That it's right, we should grieve the death of a human person, our family members, our friends, those around us, because they are missing now in this world. That we do miss them being amongst us, knowing though that we have that hope of the resurrection, that they are hopefully in a better place. But something far more than grieving is going on in this current situation. That what we have today is a gripping fear that so dreads suffering and death that almost everything else must be sacrificed. And much of this, I'm convinced, is because the increasingly secular world has lost the meaning of suffering and death. Such an attitude is not acceptable for us Christians. Jesus taught us that the cross is the tree of life, that suffering produces glory, that getting on the cross alongside our Lord gives us salvation, makes it so that we can go to heaven. He taught us to truly find our life, we must lose it in this world. That as Christ's voice in this world, the church, we have been too silent about these truths. We need to go out summoning people to a courageous stance in the face of suffering and death. Again, this doesn't mean reckless risk-taking, living life without abandon. That we need to be prudent. We need to be temperate to live out the virtues. But the widespread gripping fear in face of this virus is unprecedented. None of us have ever seen anything like it before. The worldwide scope of this fear tells me it's demonic in origin, because that's what the devil does. He sows fear, not love. God gives us love. God gives us hope. We need to speak out as a church to exorcise these demons of fear. That it's time to face our fears in this country we call the land of the free and home of the brave. That some degree of fear and anxiety is understandable, is even necessary at times. But the paralyzing fear manifest in the news reports by our media, displayed by so many around us, is destructive as well as alarming. The Holy Spirit can change this for us, wants to change this for us. That to the degree we've really met Jesus Christ, experienced His love, experienced His Holy Spirit, we are less able to be silent, less living in fear. That the Holy Spirit authentically received wants to give us zeal and joy, to burn away our fear, so that testifying, witnessing comes naturally to us, so we can live the lives that God is calling us to live, wants us to live, to give us that complete joy in our lives. Notice how the Holy Spirit translated for the apostles. That the people in the crowd were from all across the Roman Empire. They spoke all these different languages. But yet each heard Peter and the others in his own language. The Spirit will assist us as well, as the Spirit assisted the apostles, so that we can show the world how we should be living our lives in Christ Jesus, without fear, burning with that love He has for us. This is what we need to remember, that some of our most doubtful, some of our most fear-filled encounters can still bear fruit because of the work of the Holy Spirit, who translates for us, overcomes many obstacles we think insurmountable. Because the Holy Spirit is God. He can do all things. Then in the end, we are sent out. Jesus sent the apostles out, sends us out, gave us the Great Commission. That is our most and first job, our most important job. And no matter what else we do, we are supposed to do this, to preach the gospel, to live the life of Christ Jesus in the world. That perishes. Our parish doesn't deserve to exist if we do not do this. That as individual Christians, we're a disgrace, we're not worthy of the name if we fail to win souls to Christ. That the Spirit of the Lord is going to fill the orb of the earth, but only through us. The spread of the gospel has been placed in our hands, in our care. The Lord wants to light a fire, that we need to become that fire. Let the Spirit propagate the church through us. This is what the Pentecost is about. This is the birth of the church continuing to unfold 2,000 years later. That it is challenging. It means we need to have courage. For it means getting out of the upper room of our lives, going out and proclaiming Christ to the world, living our lives as God destined us to live, so that we might attain that full joy. We might at the end of our lives go to God and say that we have been that good servant of His. We have been that apostle. That we have gone out to spread the light, to heat up the dark, cold, fearful world. That we have followed the Holy Spirit and set the world on fire.